This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Today is Thursday, March 7th, and we are 49 days away from the NFL Draft in Detroit, Michigan. Under 50 days to go until the futures of the NFL are decided across every 32 of the organizations. Welcome into the Draft Show, presented by Miller Lite. We've got Zach Wolchuk back in action. Congratulations, Daddy Wolchuk.
Thanks, buddy. Congratulations to you as well. Bud.
How about that?
I know.
Just down here in the corner, just four babies new. Got it done.
Well, hey, I guess she found out the triplets came.
Now it's my combined
turn.
Between Nick, Zach, and myself,
yep.
There are four babies. New babies,
four babies
brought to the world. Congratulations,
job,
Nick. Well done.
Thanks, buddy.
Good job, Doug, buddy.
Please.
I appreciate it, man. It's a blessing. She's amazing.
Yeah, unbelievable. Great stuff. And within 48 hours of each other, we were just trying to line it up for draft time.
Hey, she knew. She's like, look, I was scheduled to come close to the draft, probably about two weeks before. I said, baby girl, can you come a little bit earlier? So I'm in ample shape to make sure we can run those 3 days.
Boom.
Good to go.
Did one of the players cough on you or something? Did you catch something? Clearly.
Something in the water?
Mm-hmm. I don't even think it's in the water. I think it's airborne at
might
this
be.
Point.
It might be airborne.
With how many kids that were born from the team and then outside of their
living. Well, Jack around the same time.
Yeah. Within 4 days of Wolchuk. And less than a week after ours were born, so airborne.
Bennett, my son, who's sophomore at Texas now, he was born 3 days after the 04 draft. And I remember Parcells asking me, he goes, you're going to be here for that draft? I said, my kid's being born. No, you can do this by yourself. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, really? It's my only kid. You know, what do you mean? But yeah, Bennett held off till the, it's always funny, draft weekend is we celebrate after the draft.
That's awesome.
So it's kind of cool. But congratulations to everybody.
Thank you.
That's awful nice.
Thanks, Bennett
Brian.
Understood
Appreciate
the assignment.
Yeah, I'm tired of you.
We've got Nick Harris, Brian Broaddus, Aisha Morrison. I'm Kyle Yeomans with Chris Beam in the back. And there's plenty to get to. We talked about the combine a lot on Tuesday. Most of that hay is now in the barn. Now you're looking ahead to 30 visits. You're looking ahead to Dallas Day. You're looking ahead to these individual meetings with players, Brian. And this is a crucial time because now you have, at least you would think, all of the medical information.
Yeah.
You would have
for some guys.
Some, yeah, exactly. Some measurements, some measurables across the board.
Right.
But now it's about getting to know these guys from another level.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're to the point now where everybody came back from the combine. You settle in. They'll start to get the numbers. They've got their own numbers. They'll get those plugged into their machines. They'll get all that. They'll get their tags ready for the meetings that they're about to have. It's the 30 visits. Those come pretty quickly. And then we start to the pro days. There's a lot of guys that probably want some do-overs on some runs. We'll start to see a bunch of guys have to do the shuttles. All those guys that didn't want to do anything with the 20 shuttle or the 3-cone or any of that stuff, there'll be a lot of that going on right now. So it is. It's a really, really, really busy time. And like I say, you just got to make sure you get all your information in. You get your information in. You get the information from the combine, the floor, those times you put those in. And then it gives you the best opportunity. Like I say, your tags look clean. And then when you start to meet, boom, everything is ready to go.
I think for the biggest thing that you could love in scouting is context and data.
Mm-hmm.
And Combine is huge for that because all of the unknowns that you have going into Combine, you have most of them solved after after coming out. So being able to add that context, add that data, it just kind of helps make a better pick at the end of the day. I think over the course of the next month, this is when you really start to see staffs really zone in and hone in on some potential targets, whether that be in the first round or in the seventh round. I mean, there's a big 3-day period there that they're going to make picks, and they're going to be looking at targets for all those days.
Well, it's the time, too, when there's draft meetings. And, I mean, you guys would be just fine in these draft meetings. Because your willingness to fight and argue and agree, and that's what it really comes down to. You know, you go in that room, you close the door, you watch the tape. There's some guys that go up on that board that you've never seen before, and you're thinking, like, wait a minute, that guy's way better than the guy I'm about to present.
Yeah,
you know, so you got to kind of have an idea. But again, it's about kind of challenging each other, and that's where your boards are really, really good. And we always talk about don't window dress your board. You know, have an honest opinion, have an honest assessment. put the best grade you can on the guy. And usually your first view is your right view. Mm. You know, don't, I mean, I just encourage people, if you're doing this like, you know, we are, and putting things together, trust your first look. You know, don't sit there, well, the guy ran really great at the combine. Hey, I got to push him up, or I got to take him down, or whatever. No, trust your eyes, trust your film, trust what you've seen, and be able to compare him to the other guys that you've seen. And that way, I tell you what, you'll help yourself at the end to have the absolute best board you can put together.
Yeah, to Nick's point, this is the time where things start, guys start to separate themselves.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Our boards start to make a little bit more sense and comparisons. But I did have a question for mostly you, Brian, but everybody can answer. So some guys didn't want to do certain things at the combine.
Yeah,
right.
Some guys do just want to do things at their pro day.
Right.
Is there something to be said about the discomfort of the combine and how high pressure it is the position it puts you in?
Yes.
And because, of course, at the pro day, some of these guys are at the facilities they've been at their whole career or whatever the case may be. There's some comfort that comes with that. Do you think, as a scout, as a former scout, does that matter in the process to the fact that they didn't want to do the things in front of the world in that way?
You know what? It's a great question, because the guys, the quarterbacks that threw, you appreciate, because they're not comfortable with these receivers they're throwing to. They're lined up out there because of alphabetical order, their name to another wide receiver's name. So you might get a rotation of receivers that can make you look really good.
Right.
And then some that are dropping everything in sight,
right,
you know, because of nerves or whatever. There is a level of that being uncomfortable at the combine. And a lot of players will tell you the way that the combine, it drags you from here to here to here to there.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
For a lot of the guys.
And you don't sleep. You're nervous. And, you know, and even the scouts, by the end of it, you're irritated, you know, because you're tired and you're grumpy and you're sitting there thinking about, okay, now I got to catch a plane out of here and have two connections to get home. So, yeah, it is a tough, tough thing. We've always done this, though. Even going back to the early 90s when I first started here, you're still going to drive to Baton Rouge. You're still going to drive to Norman, Oklahoma. You're still going to drive to Austin, Texas. If these kids don't work out, that's fine.
Right.
I'm going to catch it. And if they want to work out in their environment, fine. You know, but the guys that shine at the combine, you kind of see them in a little bit of a different light, because now it's televised. Now there's crowd. Mm-hmm. Now there's pressure.
Right.
Now there's – those are the guys you're like, going, wow, big stage.
4-2-1.
And that's why I was asking.
That guy right there showed up in a big stage.
Yeah.
You know, and I trust me, I just want everybody at the combine to do the medical. That's why I got upset with the Caleb Williams thing. I just, you know, if I was the Bears or one of these teams that's looking for a quarterback at 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever that spot is, I need that medical, man.
Isn't he only doing it to the teams that are really interested?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Really, what if there's a team that wants to move up?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the problem I have. That's the problem. If I'm sitting there and I'm the Giants and I'm looking to move up for a quarterback and I'm going to get all the way to 1, and he's thinking, oh, you're picking 6. I'm not going to see you. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Now, I might trade this thing up. And see, that's to me, I don't mind him not working out. I just need your medical, man. Yeah. I just need, because we've done this before. We said it before. We've found heart conditions.
Yep.
We found back problems. We found broken foots, you know, feet. You know, I mean, that's what we've done at the combine. And I need to know these things, because my job's on the line here. But the problem with Caleb Williams now on his 30 visit, majority of that time is going to be spent him getting a physical. And I said it today, it's not turn and cough, you know, turn your head and cough. It's a pretty extensive physical that he is going to have to go through. And so, yeah, that's he could have knocked that all out, and we didn't. But you know what? We'll do what we have to do to get these players done right.
When you think about the list of what players have to go through at the combine, too.
Yeah.
You look at it all the way through, because it's medicals, it's meetings, it's media.
It's tough.
It's back and forth. And all the ways through. And then you've got to work out with 500 other prospects. It's not 500. I know it's like 350. But still, that's a ton of players that you're going up against. Whenever it's a pro day, you're in your own building.
Right.
The only thing you really have to worry about is getting to the facility, driving your own car, parking in your own parking spot, and then working out
in your locker
with yeah. guys that you
yeah.
all know,
yeah.
and then turning around and talking to the media for like 10 minutes afterwards.
Yeah.
That's the extent and the difference between the NFL Combine and Pro Days. If you can succeed in either category, the Combine is going to carry more weight, but I don't think you should be knocked in either
way. The Combine was designed not to be easy.
Yeah.
It really was. If you look if you look at now with the way it is on TV and the pressure these kids are under, but there's some kids that also can roll out of bed and run 4.4.
Right.
There's some kids that can do that. It's the kids that that aren't sure that run 4.56 that are wide receiver or a running back that runs 4.72. That's the problem. Now the pressure
it's the outliers.
Now the pressure of your pro day turns into a – but I've always said this, guys. If I really like a kid, I could get him running at 38 yards.
He's downhill a little bit.
I can get him fast enough for you if you want.
All right, Brian. Speaking of guys that you like.
Yeah.
You've got a would you rather. We played this a couple weeks ago. Two prospects on the board, pretty tight in where they would be drafted. Would you rather have this guy or that guy? Where do you want to start things off?
Yeah, I will start off with how about with you, Wooly Bully?
Okay.
And we'll go around. I'm going to give you two names, and they're within the same position group.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get them through. They're almost like similar players, maybe similar skill set, similar height, weight. But tell me, who would you rather? The first one I'm going to start with you is Javon Baker or Jalen McMillan. Javon Baker from Central Florida. Jalen McMillan from Washington. Who would you rather between those two wide receivers?
I love both guys, but I've got J-Mac higher on my stack than I do Javon Baker. I watched Jalen McMillan, and I just see, like, this dude's got it. He's smooth, cerebral the way he moves, crisp route runner, wins deep, intermediate, shallow, explosive in the open field, shifty, has good burst. He's a playmaker, wins in the red zone, don't see a lot of drops with him, can play him inside, outside. I think he can be a third down weapon for you, and a super competitor. I mean, he's a dude, if he didn't play at Washington, where you've got Rome Odunze and also a Jalen Polk, all three tremendous, he'd have been a number one wide receiver at the majority of colleges in the nation. Now, Javon Baker is an outstanding player as well. His ability to go back shoulder is Dez Bryant-esque when you watch him play. I kind of looked at him, I'm like, man, he kind of reminds me of a blend of a Keenan McCardell and a Dez Bryant. Wins off the line. He's a chunk player down the field. But I think Jalen McMillan can do more than Javon Baker. I've got a second-round grade on J-Mac. I think I'm higher on him than maybe some other people are. I absolutely love him. I think he's going to be an absolute stud. Baker, I've got in the third, so give me J-Mac.
How about you, Nick?
Yeah, you look at the production that Jalen McMillan had in his junior year, and you kind of compare that with what Javon Baker was able to do in his senior year. And you see a lot of similarities as far as how they were used in the offense, the trust that each of their quarterbacks had in those guys during those seasons. The thing that separates Jalen McMillan for me as well is the experience playing with all of those guys. That's an NFL offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be something very unique that Michael Penix will take away, that Rome Odunze, Jalen Polk, all those guys, even Dylan Johnson at running back.
Yeah.
I think that's a unique thing that all these guys will be able to take away from Washington, the fact that all these skill guys, they're going to be playing at the next level. And whenever they get to that NFL level, there's not going to be a whole lot of adjusting that they're going to have to do whenever they look across the line and, you know, wide receiver four is as good as you are.
Right.
You know, so I don't think there's going to be a ton of adjusting that those guys will be able to do. I think these guys are very similar in what they bring to the table. I love what Javon Baker does. I'm glad you mentioned the back shoulder, because body control was the thing that stood out for me.
Absolutely.
That's what I wrote down for him. So, I mean, he's a guy that you can trust in red zone, but also to stretch the field and be a vertical threat. But I think with Jalen McMillan, whenever he steps into an NFL team, I think he'll be a little bit more ready than what Javon Baker will do. Even though Javon Baker started his career at Alabama, I still feel that way with Jalen McMillan.
Is that a byproduct just based off of the fact that he's seen more or a higher level of competition and succeeded against it more recently than what Baker has?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Interesting. When I look at Jalen McMillan, I notice his long strides and just kind of how his releases are. I do think the route running is just a little bit more refined from Javon Baker, in my opinion. I think his releases are just a little bit more fluid. But from McMillan, I'm so glad y'all brought up the body control and being the contested catches, the tight window catches. I mean, Jesus, that Penix really trusted McMillan. Let me tell you something. Yeah. Some of those throws that he made to him were tight windows. He had to have strong hands. He climbs the ladder. You guys talked about the back shoulder thing. So for me, it would be McMillan, but I would be only because even though his frame is a little lighter, do you think they would maybe want to put a little bit more weight on him?
Yeah, probably so. And I think that same could be said for a lot of these guys in this
and
receiver
even
class.
Even Javon, too. He could definitely use a little bit more size as well. I will say I feel like a McMillan is a little bit more willing as a blocker as well on the outside than Javon Baker is. And I think that stands out when you look at some of the better offenses in the league. They want guys that can block on the outside as well.
Yeah, and he was asked to do a lot more of that this past season than he was as a junior. I think it's very interesting how he was used as a junior versus how he was used as a senior, because you see two different sides to McMillan's game. And I think that makes him a little bit more versatile for the next level.
Absolutely. And also, too, did he deal with some injuries this past year?
Yes, he did. He missed a few games, just kind of in and out. It was right there in that middle stretch where they were playing like USC, Utah, Oregon, like right there in a row. And he was in and out of those games. And that's when more trust started to get involved with Roma Dunze and Jalen Polk. And then by the time he had come back, I mean, still a big part of that offense. But you got a wide receiver one and a wide receiver 1A that are
– He could be that wide receiver 1B.
I think you saw Penix. Penix's numbers went down without him in there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And to me, that's also something you look at and say, hey, you got two other stud receivers. Without Jalen McMillan, that offense didn't run as well.
Yeah. If you don't trust Jalen McMillan, viewers, I mean, feel free. You have your own opinion. Go watch that junior season, wherever he was the future
guy. Yeah, that's
what
I was about to say. Yeah. If you were worried about, especially since he did have some injuries in that key time that you mentioned, Nick, I went and watched 2022. Of him. I watched quite a bit from him there, and I was like, oh, okay, that's what I'm looking for there. Okay, cool. So, yeah, I would go with McMillan as well, but I do think Javon Baker is going to be a good player for wherever he goes.
The only reason I would go McMillan over Javon Baker is the fact that the calling card for Baker out of UCF was his straight line speed.
Yeah.
It was what he could do in a straight line, his vertical ability to separate at the second level. And then he comes up and he runs the 4.54. I mean, it's one of those things, like you said, Brian, you trust your first look. Mm-hmm. He's got it on tape. The speed is there. The separation is there. But then he comes out and he runs and he doesn't perform at the combine. Do you knock him enough for that? I'm not going to knock him a ton. But in terms of what Polk is and a trustworthy prospect, I think I'm going with Polk over McMillan. Or excuse me, McMillan over Polk.
Baker.
Sorry, I'm looking ahead.
You know what? I look at Baker.
At the other Washington receivers.
You know what? I look at Baker. I see Jalen Tolbert out of South Alabama when he came out. That's what he looks like to me.
Yeah, I can see exactly what
you're
saying.
You think he's better
there.
Or
contorting
right at
catches?
Right.
Maybe not the speediest guy. Bigger body guy. Kind of going up and getting the ball.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like that's if Jalen. He reminded me of the way Jalen Tolbert played a little bit at South Alabama.
Does that scare you?
Running releases? No,
no, it doesn't. I mean, because Jalen Tolbert in college was damn good.
Yeah, he was.
He's a strong-handed guy. I mean,
Well, the production was there with Baker. I mean, you look at the receivers in the Big 12.
There's no question.
The Big 12 in receiving yards.
Yeah.
And these scouts like production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right, how about this next one? And, Nick, we'll go with you on this one.
Okay.
This is another receiver combination. Ricky Pearsall or Roman Wilson?
Yeah, this one's...
Ricky Pearsall, Florida. Yeah. Roman Wilson, Michigan.
This one's fun because I actually we were talking about on Tuesday, guys. I had to go back and watch. And one of those guys this week has been Ricky Pearsall, and man, he's so much fun. I mean, he can be a threat from sideline to sideline, in between the hashes, on the boundary, line him up anywhere. He can make things happen. But the same could be said for Roman Wilson. And I think when I was able to compare those two guys side by side at the Senior Bowl, Roman Wilson was who stood out to me more at that point from a change of direction, from a fluid movement ability, being able to separate at the top of his routes. But when you look at Pearsall, there's a little bit more body control whenever the ball's in the air. There's a little bit more a fight and a little bit more aggression and physicality.
He's bigger, too.
Mm-hmm. He's bigger. Yeah, and that's a byproduct of that.
I thought Roman Wilson was a tiny guy, and then they measured him, and he wasn't a tiny guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got these thighs
tiny,
that are like.
No, he's not tiny.
He's got
no.
these thighs that are like a running
he's
back.
He's thick.
Yeah. For me.
Another bowl oatmeal guy.
Nice. For me, it's really close, but I give the edge to Wilson just because of that separation ability. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to take separation over physicality.
Yeah.
For me, that's at the receiver position, that's what I would rather have. I mean, you look at some of the top receivers that are in the league right now and who is consistent. Tyreek Hill, separation guy, and he's consistent. You look at a guy like DK Metcalf, physicality guy, probably not as consistent. And I see a lot more consistency in the NFL right now with separation guys rather than physicality guys. As a result, I'll give the edge to Roman Wilson. But I think Pearsall is being undervalued. I think he is in this draft right
now. Bully, what do you got?
Man, this was a tough one for me. We actually talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I went Ladd McConkey over Roman Wilson. I'm going to go Roman Wilson here slightly over Ricky Pearsall. And the reason is, it's the blocking. And Aisha just brought that up a second ago. Roman Wilson is an outstanding blocker. And to me, that sets him apart in this. Now, both of these guys can get open. You see the separation. I think Pearsall might have some of the better deep speed. He has one of the best catches I think you'll ever see. I think it was against Charlotte. Yeah. He goes up there one-handed, just plucks this thing out of the sky.
That was the highlight of the year.
Yeah, I think both are pretty solid route runners, but Roman Wilson's a track and field guy, but the blocking to me, his return ability, he's physical. I think he's got a little bit more physicality in his game, adjusts well. I saw some third down production from Roman Wilson I like. I think both of these guys are good players. I like the way that Pearsall can adjust, tracks the ball in the air. Mm-hmm. Both have really good, strong, natural hands, but I'm going to go Wilson just a smidgen ahead of Ricky Pearsall here.
I'm glad you brought that up, because whenever it comes to Roman Wilson, he is the smaller prospect, but he's the more physical of the two, which is really interesting to me. They're both very good in the finesse game, but whenever I look at Roman Wilson, I see Marvin Mims from last year. That's what I see, is a player who has some physicality to him, a little bit of beef. He's not a big receiver, but he's wide, and he can go make the contested catch, whereas Ricky Pearsall, I'm not saying they compare on the same talent level, but he's Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Well, I think Wilson's
couple
got a
guys
little
that
bit
are
more,
finesse.
Like the catch radius might be a little bit better for Wilson.
It is.
Pearsall.
Yeah, and Pearsall has better body control.
Yeah.
And better ability to go up against a defender.
Sure.
It's apples and oranges. It's flavors of ice cream. Yeah. But for me, I think I would take Roman Wilson with an edge. I put a mid-second on Roman Wilson, and Pearsall's like a late second. So they're right there with me.
Interesting.
What do you got, Aisha?
It's like apples and green apples.
Apples and green apples.
It's weird to
true,
me
it's not oranges, right?
Oh, my bad. Yes.
No, you're good.
My bad. I got off track
here. It's okay. Interesting, because I really felt like that Roman Wilson, because of the physicality aspect of it, I felt like he could get jammed at the line sometimes. I felt like he couldn't get off a press consistently as what I felt like Ricky did. So to me, that might be the only thing. And also, too, the return ability does make Roman Wilson a little bit more appealing from that aspect. I don't know if that's something that Ricky did. Nick, is that something that he's done before?
I couldn't speak to that.
Well, tater tots. Well,
I don't think so. But he does have the speed, I feel like, maybe.
Yeah, Pearsall was a kick returner.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. But as far as the like I said, it's just interesting to me, because we did talk about the route running, and I personally think that Ricky is one of the best route runners in this draft, as just a pure feel, understanding how to get guys to open up their hips, things like that. But I did feel like Roman at times, if he didn't win the first step, and if he didn't win the physical part of the bump and run, could, you know, be taken off his spot a bit. And with Ricky, I just think he's just a little bit more elusive and just a little bit more fluid. You mentioned the body control. I think that there's a little bit more there. So for me, I think I might go Ricky.
I like Ricky too. I went Ricky too.
I think I would go Ricky.
Well, you're both wrong.
I didn't even talk to him about this, so
everything she said, but I was just kind of sitting there nodding to myself.
You think Ricky gets off the line better too? Is that the big thing for you?
Man, I tell you what, this guy, he's got quickness. I think he's got speed. I think he makes really sharp cuts. I think he gets the defender off balance. The circus catches we talked about. There's few receivers in this draft that he did have the skill that this guy has catching the football. They're both these fun players to watch.
Yeah.
Because when you get him the ball, generally good things happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can watch Roman Wilson, watch the Alabama game, and watch how he wins that game for Michigan.
Yes.
Watch how he
dominated.
He took over.
Yeah. By himself.
He absolutely did. You two are wrong over there, for sure. I'll tell you wrong over there.
Right, they're a lot of the same guys.
I understand.
They really
they're both
a lot
players.
Of the same guys.
I mean, all four of the receivers we talked about, I like them all.
How are we doing on break? We good?
Let's go one more, and then we'll fit the
rest
in later.
I'm going to start with you on this one. How about this one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, Ray Davis, running back, Kentucky. Blake Corum, Michigan, running back.
See, it's funny because all of these, top to bottom, I think this is the easiest one out of all of them.
Really?
I'm taking Blake Corum from Michigan every day of the week. And here's why. Ray Davis is a good runner. He runs through arm tackles. He's a reliable target in the passing game. You're going to have him hold on to the football. He had just one fumble in his 2023 season. I like the way he runs the rock. He is a reliable ball carrier. but he's not a playmaker like Blake Corum. Corum is slippery whenever he gets to the second level. He gets to the second level with ease. He's got great vision. His innate ability and balance, his low center of gravity at 5'11", the way he can spin out of tackles and then still have that power running ability that Ray Davis has, because he can go right through some arm tackles just like Davis can. And he was the playmaker on that Michigan team, especially when they needed it. You talked about the Alabama game.
Mm-hmm.
He had the best run of the year against that Alabama defense, barreling through multiple levels of defenders and then finding the end zone, getting to the pylon inside the Rose Bowl to send them to the national championship game. I think he is the number maybe 2-3 running back in the class, and I have Ray Davis more like
talk that
6
talk,
or
AY.
7 down there. I really like Ray Davis. Yeah. He's a reliable ball carrier, and he's going to be a great number 2. Blake Corum's going to be a number 1 in an NFL offense.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm with you. Ditto, completely. I've compared Blake Corum on here to Kyren Williams, and I think there's a very similar skill set there as far as what he could do as being, even though he's 5'8", being a downhill runner, and he's got ability between the tackles. Does Ray Davis bring those same type of abilities? Absolutely. Is he probably just as physical? Absolutely. But you talk about the playmaking element and being able to be consistent in those short yardage situations, the receiving element. I'd say Corum here. It's not by much, though. Ray Davis is flying up my board. He is, but I'm taking Corum.
Go for it, Wooly.
Ray Davis.
Oh, really?
Ray Davis is one of my pet cats. I love this kid. If you watch Ray Davis against Florida, it's one of the most dominant games that you will see from a running back. He just destroyed the Florida Gators, and it's not only on the ground.
Tell him about it, Wooly.
It's in the passing game as well, and this dude will go down the field and run some routes as a wide receiver. Blake Corum is maxed out. Player that you are getting
in college is the player you are getting.
Blake Corum is smaller than Ray Davis. They're both good. They both have the production, and Ray Davis actually more carries than Blake Corum, and that's a knock for me
on
Blake.
Why are you saying he's maxed out?
Davis is going to be a better pro. I see more upside. I think pass protection is going to be a little bit better with Ray Davis. I think he's got more receiving upside than Blake Corum does. I think both as runners are very comparable when it comes to their short area quickness, their physicality.
Right.
They play behind their pads. They can break tackles. They can run through a mofo's face. I love Blake Corum. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to knock this dog, but I got to show some love to Ray Davis. Him and Jalen Wright are my two pet running back cats. I will stand on the table for you, Ray Ray. I got you, bro.
What do you think about
his long
speed?
You got a nickname for this guy, too?
Which long speed?
Which one?
Ray Davis.
Ray Davis, I think, has better long speed than Blake Corum does.
What do you think?
I think so, too.
That's the difference to me.
Yeah.
Is that I think the long speed is just a little bit more. They're a lot of the same guy, Doug. Like, I'm watching them, and I'm looking, and I'm like, holy receiving qualities for Ray Davis.
Because
I'm just like, but I feel like Blake is the same way, is that he can route you up. He can get open. He can do things like that. He's not afraid to lower his shoulder. That was my knock on Blake to start, was until we talked to some guys at the Shrine Bowl, I didn't know, like, this is a physical dude. Like, players have said when he hits you or when you make contact, Blake Corum, you can feel him. And even with his frame, maybe you don't think that, but I was corrected. You know, you got me in check. I'm on the fence. I'm sorry.
I'm watching all 22 of him against Florida in this game. You said he took over and he just dropped a pass in the end zone.
Oh, he dropped a pass.
I'm just saying.
Watch his touchdown that he had.
I'm just looking
at it. Watch the full game.
But
all seriousness.
I can find some Blake Corum drops.
I think one of them is a fire hydrant. And the other is one of those old steel mailboxes.
Yes.
You know, like the big mailbox. I got this because they're both the same height, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're both the same. I tell you what, though, the thing it's the speed. It's the finish. You see Corum get caught.
Yeah. Right.
And that kind of like, I'm thinking, dude, you're 5'8".
He's got it.
You got to go. And so I feel like he's going to have to split time.
That's the difference to me.
I do. I feel like, but I tell you, that's why I brought him. So
you think Corum has to split time?
Fun. I think Corum's going to have to split time.
I think it's going to be for his best interest to split time. The way Michigan ran the ball,
y'all. That's what the NFL is.
Because even when you look at Ray Davis, you can say he had just as many
kids.
Well,
Ray Davis spent to three schools.
Are they going power?
Yeah.
Like Michigan goes power.
Oh, Michigan run power.
When he's
with the Chargers and he runs the same offense, you know.
Football to phone booth.
So, anyway.
All right. So, we've gotten through three. We're going to have a couple more after Twitter on the 20. But we want to answer your questions when we come back with more of the Draft Show.
I am on a fence.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to LaserCare Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and LaserCare Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show, presented by Miller Lite, a taste you can depend on. Brian Broaddus, Aisha Morrison, Nick Harris, Zach Wolchuk. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Chris Beam is in the back about to press a great button because it's time for some
Twitter on the 20.
Twitter on the 20.
What?
Crisp as always.
Me all right. Those ad-libs.
What was that?
Nothing.
I've been doing the ad-lib all year.
Really?
Yeah. One of y'all were going to notice at some point. But go
Got
ahead.
To. Kyler Cross asked the question, which positions of need are you comfortable going into the season young at via the draft? Not addressing it at all during free agency. But where do you feel like which ones they're going to go young at, which ones they go old at whenever they go into the season, Brian?
Kind of feel like that they're either going to play with a new center or play with a new left tackle. Mm-hmm. So those might be positions that even if they don't draft a tackle, and maybe they like Austin Richards, maybe that's the start that they want to go with. That's still a young guy right there. So, yeah, comfortable. Yeah, comfortable when they plug and play, guys. These offensive line, and we say it a bunch, they have a really good history with this. So I'm totally okay with the center, and I'll be totally okay with the left tackle, whoever they draft.
Can you ask the question again?
Where do you feel like this team going into free agency would
think
go,
about horse ducks.
Go young or go old? We'll talk about that in a minute. Where do you feel like they would go old at or go young at whenever they go into the season?
I think you got to get younger at DN. Mm. And not that the guys at DN aren't young. I just think you've seen what they are. Most of the depth pieces, Fowler, Dorrance, Armstrong, like these guys, I think that we have a good grasp of like who they are as players. So I do think that maybe going into the draft, you might want to get younger there. Probably. I mean, Tank has had his best season this past year.
Sure.
I think he's had in a long time, but he is getting older.
They might have to go young at defensive tackle.
Yeah,
if you
sure.
think about with Mozzie, and then also, too, the one that I'm kind of still waiting on, and maybe I'm running out of waiting on, is Golston.
Chauncey.
Oh, no, yeah. Move him to DN. Yeah. Please.
He was better.
I feel bad for him.
I feel bad for him because I feel like he's a good player that they're trying to kind of figure out where he needs to play, and it's probably screwing him up.
Yeah, it's frustrating because you've seen good flashes from Chauncey Golston. Yeah. Like, he definitely has potential to be a good player.
What you got?
I think just to be different on this, because I agree with you on tackle and center, I'll go running back.
Yeah.
I think that, that running back room is going to be very, very young, and I think that that's a room that that's okay. I think you've seen that be successful in the NFL where these kids can come in and be productive immediately.
Yeah, running back was my answer. Also, linebacker as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like every position of need that you look at
on the
team right now,
we didn't name every position.
It's going to be young.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be young.
I think the changing in the last 7 days of the quote-unquote all-in approach perspective, it's completely shifted.
Yeah.
I think it's completely shifted to back what it has been recently. They're going to draft. They're going to draft heavy. Yeah. They're going to draft a lot of prospects. That's going to be the all-in approach.
Yeah. With,
that's just kind of the feeling I get.
With the running back conversation, obviously, you know, there's some talks that maybe Tony Pollard could be open to returning.
Yeah.
I know that people say that running back's the easiest transition for these college players and stuff, but this past season, this is a new offense. You know, and Tony has just gotten introduced to it. They even changed a lot of their pass pro sets for the running backs. Is that something? I mean, this is a passing league. You know, I do understand that going young is a, guys can't adapt and things like that. But when you talk about a new scheme being implemented the year before, does that change anything or matter? I guess I'm asking, like, Tony being here is going to possibly being here could be beneficial for a young player, or do you think you should just go completely young and it'll be okay?
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think it could be beneficial. I think that we've talked about that a lot on our show, Brian, where having a veteran in that room still makes a lot of sense, specifically the improvements that Tony Pollard's made as a pass protector. I think that's one thing, though, where we've been looking at these running backs, like whether it's Trey Benson from Florida State, I mentioned Ray Davis from Kentucky, Jalen Wright from Tennessee. That's one thing where I'm elevating some of these guys to thinking they can be three-down players because of how they are in pass protection.
Tracking.
Because if you do end up having to be that role where this rookie comes in, maybe you're not able to afford a Tony Pollard or some of these bigger-name veterans in free agency and bring him back, you're going to have to rely on that guy. Can he come in day one and be a three-down player? And I think those running backs can be.
I don't think we're ever going to see a group of running backs in free agency as good as this one. The group.
It's heavy.
And the thing about it is my fear – and this is, I think it covers what Aisha was saying. Coaches will always bring back what they feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And maybe they want a young guy to learn behind Pollard and stuff like that. We've learned that that Pollard needs somebody to carry the load with him on that. I wish that they would go out and sign a veteran guy other than Tony Pollard.
Interesting.
And I wish they would draft a guy. But to your point, coaches will do things that they're familiar with.
Yep.
You know, this coach is potentially in his last year. You know, he's going to go with players that he feels like can help him potentially keep his job. And Pollard makes a lot of sense because of front office familiarity and then also, too, the fact that he's come out and said he's willing to take less money. That's music to Stephen Jones's ears.
Music to the salary cap ears, too. Yeah.
So you think you could upgrade there?
If you bring back Tony Pollard and you bring in a talented draft pick, sure.
I'm talking about from a free agent standpoint.
Oh,
I know we can't go super deep into it, but there's maybe a free agent running back outside of Tony Pollard that you think is an upgrade?
Oh, yeah.
There would be upgrades.
I think there's absolutely some upgrades. We talked about this yesterday on the break. So, Derek, we were talking about names. I know what you're doing. I did the same thing.
Yeah, just in case we can't mention it. Yeah, I always get confused. Because we can be freely on the fan. We cannot be here.
Yeah,
Jacobs from the Raiders, I would absolutely love. Mm-hmm. That type of guy. A guy could catch it, guy that could block, guy that can run, guy that's tough, guy at 1,600 yards.
Absolutely. I think it would be perfect.
Is that your guy?
I think we'd all love a Josh Jacobs. I just don't know realistically.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. I would love this team to sit there and say, you know what, if they're going to spend money, go spend it on a linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but
is that the position I think we'd all want? Like, if you had to sacrifice,
absolutely,
it's linebacker.
It's a linebacker,
yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would rather them spend the money, bring back Tony, and then bring back and then draft a guy than to not address linebacker in free agency. I think,
yeah,
I just feel
but I
like
think you're
every,
right, Brian, with the running back.
Every time hear the term spend money, I just don't think they're going to spend money.
How can
I
they
really
not?
Don't.
How because can they not feel
can't.
The urgency to spend money?
I don't
right
think
now they
don't
have
make
made.
Me, listen,
they just haven't made those
don't
moves
give me
where they've opened it up yet.
It's not going to be a
lot. Yeah, I just don't know. I'm telling you right now.
I hope so.
This next week is going to be important, maybe.
It's going to be a
It's going to
be a severe disappointment.
What's the next question you got there?
Next question. All right. This is from Burner, Cowboys Burner 22. So you know it's going to be a fun one.
Please.
Which scenario would you feel more comfortable with going into this first round? Drafting Mims, Guyton, or Morgan? So one of those left tackles to be your starting left tackle replacement.
Yes.
While TJ Bass and Brock Hoffman compete for the starting center position. That's option one. The second option is drafting Graham Barton to be the starting center out of Duke, while Tyler moves to left tackle and TJ Bass starts at left guard.
Give me option one. There's option too much one, moving please. In that second option. I think they could figure it out with TJ Bass or Brock Hoffman at center. But if you have a guy like Amarius Mims at left tackle, that's going to solve a lot of problems for you. And they're an option too. You're moving around a lot of guys. That's a couple of different starters that you're going to have to throw in at different positions. Give me option one there. 10 times
If the center was the Oregon one.
Yeah, same.
Jackson Powers
same.
Johnson.
Okay. Yeah,
same.
So you feel that strong? He don't. Do you not feel that strongly? He want a center.
Give me option
two. You want
two.
A tackle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me option two.
And moving Tyler out to left tackle? That's where it gets difficult for me.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah. And they're probably not going to do it. Yeah. But to me, I'm dying at center.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dying. I'm watching all these teams. Aisha told me the other day, look at all the teams in the Final Four. What they all
badass
do.
Centers.
It's badass fact. Centers run the football.
That's fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. You need to be able to.
But you know, all your tackles, all those tackles you mentioned. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Bring them.
So
you know,
this is fun because I brought this up in our text. I was like, okay, is it easier to take your center in the first round, and then you can circle back and get your tackle, or is it easier to take your tackle and then you can circle back and get your center? I'd argue.
I think
center stretches better than the tackle.
Yes, agreed. In this class in particular, yes.
You say the center stretch better than the tackle?
I'm not as high on some of these other tackles that are going to.
And he's higher on some of these centers.
And I like Bo Limmer. I think I could buy in on a Cedric Van Pran. Right, some of these other centers.
Zach Frazier could stretch to the second round.
Zach Frazier,
West Virginia,
because of the injury with the leg. Maybe
if I pick swap Minnesota. Maybe. I can.
Yeah, we can do
Christian
that.
Christian Haynes, UConn.
I think you're better off at 24 taking your tackle. Whether it's Mims or Guyton, whoever they want to take there, and then you circle back at 56, or if you want to move up to your point, if you get a pick swap, I think you can address center maybe even in the third round if you wanted to.
I agree, and I also think that there's some offensive linemen that are guards that maybe you can move to center. There are a few that are later down. I think the guards are a little bit more rich in those middle rounds. There's some guys that we even had the pleasure to see at the Shrine Bowl that maybe. But as far as the question goes, I'm going to go with the first option because even though I think TJ Bass is capable of being a starter, mm-hmm. The depth on your offensive line is valuable. Like, we've seen it too much in this league in the past couple years, how many injuries have been taking place and things like that. And I'm like, if you have an adequate backup center, if you have an adequate backup guard, I understand that you want to push them to a starter. That can maybe be an eventual thing. But having that depth is so valuable.
Yeah,
and knowing for a fact that when he comes in there, you're not about to have to change your game plan.
Yeah.
You don't have to change around everything for him. It's invaluable. And as far as Tyler Smith goes, respectfully, Brian, cut this out, bro. Like, let this kid...
him know where he's going to be.
I think that his versatility is valuable, and it's something that we love. But at some point in time, we got to ask ourselves if we are hurting this kid's development.
Sure.
Just swipping him back and forth like he a ping pong
ball.
But
they don't move him back and forth.
They don't, but it's always a conversation. And
it won't be anymore. If you move him back to left tackle, that's the end of that conversation for the rest of his career.
He is your left tackle of the future.
But the conversation wins.
That's what you drafted him to be. You drafted him to play guard for a couple of years and then swing out to tackle when Tyron
That's
Smith
what
was
they
done.
Told us.
That's
that was
what
the,
you.
But they,
the
but they also told was. Us that it's all in, too. They already so told
Well, yeah, but Coach Solari came in here during the draft last year in this room and said it. I was looking at Tyler as a tackle.
Yeah.
And then he played guard all year, and they didn't want to move him.
I know it's by necessity and things like that. I just think this is his third year. Let's find him a home.
Okay,
let him develop.
You're not wrong.
Let him breathe.
I think, too,
I'm over it.
All valuable points.
I'm over it.
A little bit of that plays into me choosing option one here as well. A big thing is I have a lot of trust in TJ Bass and Brock Hoffman.
I do, too.
I think those guys can be starters.
Been hanging out with scouts again, haven't you?
I think they could, too. But
that goes to your point, Brian. We're like, the easy fix is Tyler and then TJ Bass, and then you draft your center.
Prime 47, hang out.
TJ Bass is a starter. I think he can be a starter.
Yeah, I agree with you. TJ Bass is a starter.
Holy crap. Zach Martin's getting long in the tooth.
Yeah.
Yo, having him be able to come in this season, and none of us was like, Jesus Christ, they putting TJ Bass out there? Like, none of us felt like that.
Yeah. Nope.
It's invaluable. It's invaluable. And there are teams that are kicking themselves because they let this kid go undrafted.
You said he needed to be drafted.
I think he can be a starter. I do.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if I want him to do it right away, because that depth is showing it's shown its value towards the end of the season for the last couple of years. That's just me.
Kind of along the same lines.
Real quick, can I talk you out, Bruce? Real quick, just yes or no. if you take your tackle and the center's there in the second round, but one of those top linebackers from the second round,
if you go out in free agency, it won't matter. No.
No, we're not playing free agency. Just we're drafting now. We're drafted.
I'm taking the linebacker.
Yeah, I'm taking the linebacker.
I'm taking
as well.
The center. Offensive line's more important.
Center or linebacker?
I think you take the linebacker because the linebackers are better at the top to me.
They are. And
so
I don't disagree with that.
Somebody like Wilson?
You can find a center
They would be the best player on the board at that point, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm taking the center.
I think you can find a center. And again, I would have
you're
to.
You're taking
go,
the linebacker?
I'm taking the linebacker. I think you can find a center later, or you can find a guard that's serviceable that you can convert to a center. I definitely do.
I don't disagree, but if I got the center graded higher, line of scrimmage to me is always going to be the factor. And I love Cedric Gray from Carolina.
Okay, so that's different, though. That's the higher-graded player. Yeah. I think it's more likely that Edgerrin Cooper or Junior Colston are going to be higher-graded than the centers that are on the board whenever you get to that pick.
Do you love Cedric Gray on the Cowboys? I feel like it would be a really bad fit here.
You think so?
I think so.
I think Zimmer can
I think the problems that you have in that linebacking core, he just adds to that.
Really?
Yeah, because
you think
he's
can be like Eric Kendricks-esque?
He's a Will,
I think
ain't
Nick's
he?
Onto something.
He's a Will,
I think he
ain't
could
he?
Be.
I
think Nick's
yes,
onto something.
Exactly.
He is
he's
a Will,
baby.
Exactly.
He's a Mike.
I know you need a mic, but I like Cedric Gray. I just think he's a good player.
I think he's going to be a great player.
Noted.
In the right
system. Not here
I think he can fit with Zim.
I think he can fit here.
Oh, darn, he went to the Buccaneers.
It's not even with Zim.
Well, that'd be a good fit with Tampa.
It's not even with Zim.
Probably
I'm talking
would
about
be.
The personnel that they have in that linebacker
yes.
room, what they need.
I hear you,
I don't feel like Cedric Gray fits that.
I hear you.
That would be a waste of a linebacker pick. In
North Carolina we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
My bad.
Give me a good player, I'll find a path for him.
I understand
And I think that you can make
I
that
love
kid
your trust.
Work. I do. I just believe in the kid.
Yeah, Nick is over here just digging a grave. He said it'll be a waste of a pick. If his name gets called, just remember this episode because you're going to get tagged in it 14
different
times.
To your point,
you know,
I don't think they're going
to
take it.
You know what's funny? Then we have to go around the room and talk about what we think about the player. And you get to just, Nick, what do you got?
Well, bad pick.
This is a waste
Junior
of a
Colson
pick.
Junior Colson was on the board.
There you go.
Now that would be a bad pick.
I got Cole Meyer.
Give me Junior.
I'll take Colson over Gray for sure.
Don't even speak that into existence.
No doubt.
I'm going to lose my mind.
Colson's a true Mike.
All right. Really, 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 really quickly.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Brandon says, coming out of college, where would Tyler Smith rank as a prospect compared to the rest of this tackle class this year? Oof. So based off of where you had him when he was picked, where would he fall out of that 22 class compared to this 24 class, Brian?
Well, I tell you what, I didn't have him right because I had a third round grade on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 9 guys ahead of him right now if you look at my board.
Yeah.
If you'd say, but if you want to just, if you want to play, you know,
hindsight 2020
play, I'd probably take four guys ahead of him, though, is what I would do.
That's
the fifth guy. He would be ahead of Latham for me, is where he would be.
As a tackle, as a guard?
Tackle.
Yeah. Tackle.
That's where we watched him, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what he was listed as.
Yeah.
I was not covering the draft at this point, and I'm not going to BS you guys, so I'm just going to let y'all – I'm going to defer to you guys on this one.
I wasn't covering the draft yet either, so I'm scared.
Yeah, you know what? Some of us can just answer the question even if we weren't in the room.
Even if you weren't in the room.
Seventh. He would be seventh behind Fashanu, Olt, Latham, Fuaga, Mims, and Guyton.
I think I would have him.
Morgan.
I'd have him kind of in that mix as well. A different order.
Guyton's better than him?
I'm just
– But about fifth.
I just didn't think that Tyler Smith was going to be what Tyler Smith is.
I agree on that.
That's all it is. When I evaluated him – I mean, don't get me wrong. The night that they drafted him, I had a tantrum. But when I like actually went back and looked at him and I was like, oh, this guy – if he was a guard
– Yeah.
I think he would have went. Well, I think he could have even went higher.
The Yale tackle – and I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name – reminds
yeah,
me a
my
lot
guy.
Of Tyler Smith. Like, that's the guy, if you don't take an offensive tackle at 24, I would be totally on board with the Yale offensive tackle as the guy that can be.
Kingsley.
Yeah, Kingsley.
Just say Kingsley S.
Because I mean,
that's BYU.
from BYU.
Oh, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one.
Don't love him. But the Yale kid.
Kieran? Kieran Majati?
It's an interesting name. 6'5", 326. We'll but that well, dude, the build, the body type, reminds me a lot of Tyler Smith.
All right, let's get to some more Would You Rathers and wrap up this episode of the Draft Show. When we come back right after this.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer 6 different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into 2 new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie Bowls, now in 2 new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show, presented by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on. This segment is brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We got one more Would You Rather, Brian. Let's get after it.
Yeah, would you guys want an edge, a corner, or a guard?
I think we talked a lot of guard.
Where are we picking this pick? Or is it just in general?
Just in general.
It's an edge, corner, guard.
Edge, corner, guard.
I'd say edge. That's a sneaky need, in my opinion.
I think corner is too.
But yeah, so is
I'm good either of the spots. Either I think one we should go two. Defense, though. I agree
edge?
With you.
I'm
taking corner.
Chef's choice. What are you cooking?
Corner.
On?
We're
cooking.
Cooking.
Edge.
All right.
Edge. Muhammad Kamara, Colorado State.
Ooh.
Or Marshall Nealon. From where's he?
Western Michigan.
Eastern Michigan.
Western.
Right? Western Michigan. Right.
Nealon,
Western Michigan.
Nealon.
I had fun watching him last night, bro.
I know.
I think Nealon is your guy, right?
Nah, not necessarily. I just watched him last night.
Okay. Well, do you want to lead us off on?
Oh yeah, sure.
Kamara or Nealon?
Either or.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness.
Who would you rather? Yeah.
I think this one's easy for me.
This is an easy one for me. I mean, I'm not high on Nealon.
I mean, because
you're not high on Nealon.
He doesn't like him.
You know what it is? It's not that I don't like the player. Dane's top 100, I think he's got him way too high. He's small. Mo Kamara's a dude that, like, you see him take over a game. Especially against Colorado. Like, all you got to do is watch the Colorado game. Yeah. He's an absolute stud. The production throughout his career is there. The hands, to me, is what really separates these two.
Really?
Mo Kamara, yeah, he plays with violent hands.
I, He's a tad bit more violent, but Marshawn Tanzer.
Nealon's got the quickness off the ball. That's what it is. And Nealon does have the hand fakes. He can set up linemen with his rush. He can get the bull rush. He can push a tackle back into the lap of the quarterback. Plays across the line. They move him around a lot. But he just doesn't always set the edge for me.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because of his size. There was a lot of hype around Nealon. Maybe my expectations were just too high. I didn't love him. I've got a 3 on him. I think Kamara is a guy that can maybe sneak into even the second round. The leverage, the base, the strength. I think Mo Kamara is an absolute stud. I love that dude.
I mean, I think obviously because of the size, the change of direction is better with Marshawn Nealon. Like, they both have really high motors, and it's, of course you put these two together, Brian. You play too much. But yeah, I do think the change of direction and being able to stop and go is a little better with Marshawn. But as far as the motor goes, they're both Looney Tunes.
Both are,
and the pursuit is just relentless.
Nealon's got the traits. He's got to get stronger to me at the next level. Well, and he can.
He's big though.
He's 6'3", but he's skinny.
No, but the initial contact, when you see him put hands on folks, you're seeing guys' heads snap back.
The play, I mean, I got doubts.
Do you see a bendy guy?
And who?
With Nealon?
No.
No. He has a little bit, though, just enough, okay. But not nothing crazy, no.
Yeah. I kind of feel like he's a better run defender than he is a pass rusher.
I agree. Said that.
Completely. It builds off of his size.
Because he'll rush himself out of rush lanes. He'll get caught too upfield for me.
Well, a lot of the pass rushing from him is just because he's not quitting on the play.
It's not that he's doing anything fancy or anything.
It's just he plays through the whistle. That's why he's getting to the quarterback, because of the pursuit, not because of the pass rush.
Because he'll work back around to the ball, because initially with his rush, he's going way too wide.
I think you're a hater.
I don't know. I'm trying to level expectations on him.
No, I think
his expectations have gone way too high for me.
Does it remind you of old dude from last year? What was his name? Tater Tots.
McDonald?
Nah, the one that threw this went crazy at the combine.
Defensive tackle? Elijah Cansey?
No. I liked him early. I cannot remember what his name was. He blew the combine out the water. He had the fastest big man in years. Tater Tots.
While y'all are thinking there, I'm going to go ahead and throw my take here.
Go ahead and let him know why Kamara is way better.
Oh my God.
When I watch film on both of these guys, and I love pinning these guys against each other here because of them both being group of five guys playing similar competition. Kamara stands out because of his violence and his pursuit. Y'all mentioned the pursuit. I think he's always running like a chicken with its head cut off. I love that about Kamara. When you watch Nealon, there's a little bit more precision. You're not going to see the flashy plays, but you're going to see him doing what needs to be done to get things done. Then I see both of these guys during Shrine Bowl Senior Bowl week. And Nealon was what stood out to me because of his size, him being able to get around the edge. I saw a little bit of that bend at Senior Bowl that I had asked about kind of going into it. And then when I see both of these guys test and what they weigh in at and their height and everything, I love Muhammad Kamara, and this is tough for me to say, but I don't think he has a future in the NFL because of being 6'1". And I wish there was a little bit more to love there. I wish there was a little bit more length. There's not that length. So I just worry he's going to get overpowered at the next level. And I kind of came to that conclusion a few days ago, and I was like, man, that sucks, because he was a really good college player. For that, I have Nealon a little bit higher just because of traits. I'm going to buy into the traits when it comes to this.
To your point, I think the length matters a little bit in the run game.
He just likes being wrong.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He likes being wrong.
I get it. The projection, the traits, and I wrote that down for Marshawn Nealon. People are going to like him for that.
Yeah.
I've been on an island all day.
I want the production, and Kamara's got that. You're right. Nealon's taller.
Welcome.
Yeah. I think Kamara's more filled out with his frame. Mm-hmm. Nealon's a little bit skinny for me. Yeah. But the violent hands, man, I think Kamara's going to be able to win at the next level.
I want to throw this out really quick. This is just a testament to what Western Michigan has done with their developing over the course of the last few seasons. So in a two recruiting class cycle, to 2018 and 2019, Western Michigan, Braden Fisk, they had signed before he transferred to Florida State. Jaden Reed, who they had signed, and he transferred to Michigan State, was a second-round pick last year. Chase Brown, who they signed, and he transferred to Illinois later in his career, and he was a fifth-round pick in 2023. Linebacker Zaire Barnes, who was a sixth-round pick in 2023, still out of Western Michigan, and now they have Marshawn Kneeland. This is a really, really impressive group of guys up there in Western Michigan. That staff do a really good job developing. That's whenever I was on the recruiting beat, that was one you kind of pay attention to in the Midwest as far as, okay, if Western Michigan is offering this guy really early on, then there's something here. There's traits. There's
it's a good note.
Yeah. Come on, recruiter. Come on.
Final question before we wrap things up, and this one's specifically for Aisha off of Twitter on the 20. Would you rather fight 20 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? This is from Twitter on the 20. Which one would you rather do?
One horse-sized duck.
Why is that?
Because I'm just going to take out his legs.
Yeah. What about 20 duck-sized Braden Fisks or one Braden Fisk-sized duck?
I don't think nobody want to deal with a human Braden Fisk. No. So to be thinking he's going to be like a Ninja Turtle or something like that is stressful.
That's another dude. Braden Fisk needs to get more love.
Yeah.
We talk about T-Sweat.
Yes.
Give me Fisk all day.
Him, his little swaggy self. He got some swag to him.
Got some swag. There's Fisk. There's Chris Beam. He's putting up some B-roll as we're wrapping up the show.
Crazy self. I like
it. It's all slow-mo, too. That's some nice-looking B-roll. Very nicely done, Chris Beam. All right, that does it for us here on the Draft Show. We'll be back on Tuesday. We're less than 50 days away from the NFL Draft. Get your studying ready to rock. We've got Dallas Day coming up. Got some 30 visits to talk about. And, of course, everything's still falling out from the NFL Combine. For Zach Wolchuk, Nick Harris, Brian Broaddus, Aisha Morrison, Chris Beam in the back, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long. We will see you next Tuesday on the Draft Show.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?